chapter 3, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Just in case you had missed the last couple of weeks, what had happened, of course, is that Paul had written the first epistle to the Corinthians, and that word epistle I'm going to explain to you in just a minute in great detail, but he'd written that first letter to the Corinthians, and it was a letter that was filled with errors in their church, things that weren't right, things that needed to be changed. In fact, he if you look at 1 Corinthians, he points out that they are not spiritual. They had a great opinion of themselves. They thought they were very spiritual. He says, no, you're carnal. And the reason you're carnal is because you're divided and you have factions in your church. And they had trouble with tongues. We're going to look at that on Sunday morning in a couple of weeks. And lots of things going wrong. And so he'd written this letter to them to correct a bunch of these mistakes. And they didn't care for it as much as they should have. And they kind of questioned, who does he think he is a roundabout way of saying this. And so 2 Corinthians is his, I won't say it's a defense of his ministry, but it's a presentation of his ministry. And you and I ought to know, if you know the apostles and the characters in the New Testament, people like Timothy and others, that Paul is, who can you pick for a better example? Amen? I mean, a man that he... he took those three missionary journeys and basically evangelized the entire northern Mediterranean area, the area that we now call Turkey right now. And he went all the way to Spain, we believe, and lots of different churches were started by him. He was quite a fellow, so questioning him, not a wise thing to do. So in chapter 3, let me just begin reading these first six verses to you and then show you something about epistles, because that's really the subject at hand here, is an epistle. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Let's just briefly pray. Father, please bless this time. God, I ask you to work in the hearts of each one who hears the message. Show us the things you want us to see. And guide me, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. The word epistle, which we've seen here several times in these few verses, it comes from a Greek word which is pronounced almost the same way. It's almost a transliteration. It's epistole is kind of the way you pronounce the Greek word. It's a combination of two Greek words, epi and stola, and it comes from these words. It means to send someone a message. In other words, when he translated it when God wrote the Bible, the word he used is translated letter, or it's translated epistle in the New Testament most of the time. He mentions in verse 1 an epistle of commendation, and that's what you and I would call a letter of recommendation. Some of us, through the years, maybe you went to get a job, and the people that you used to work for know what you can do, but the people that you're hoping that will hire you, they may not know quite so much. And so what you'd like to do is take some evidence. And throughout the years, when I, for example, was working in the computer industry, I always was able to say, talk to the people that I've worked for, and they'll tell you I know what I'm doing. And that the things I've produced are good, and I'm good at what I do. That's a letter of recommendation. But Paul, when he writes these people, he says in verse 1, is that what I need? He says to the Corinthians, is that what you want me to do, is to somehow prove to you? It's a foolish idea, because he doesn't need to prove to them what he can do. He started their church. He's the reason they're there. And I'll tie this down a little bit better according to the Word of God, but that's the general thought. He begins the chapter by asking, do I need that? And then he answers his own question by saying, you're the epistle. And he says, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. And Paul knew without a doubt what had been done there. And he had been bragging on them to some other people. And so there was no need to get some outside verification of what had happened in Corinth. He knew, they knew. This idea that he needed to prove himself again is really kind of ridiculous. In other words, his proof of his character, his godliness, his commendability is the church at Corinth. Now here's the question. What is our epistle of commendation? In other words, Paul, you and I never have met the man. We never have been to the church at Corinth. We never have been to the church at Ephesus. We never have been to the church. What's another good church he started? Galatia, the Galatian churches. We haven't been to any of those. In fact, they're not there anymore, but we've read about them in the Bible. And I don't know about you. I think you'd agree with me when I say it. I think Paul's a pretty sharp fellow. There's evidence. Not just that he was busy, but what he produced. Now, there's a difference in being busy and producing something. The question is, what's the product? Can you point to something and say, that's the result? And the church at Corinth is one of those things. So, three quick questions. I think I can do this pretty fast, and I think it'll make a difference, hopefully, as we think about it. And so the first question, once again, is, do you and I have an epistle? Is there something that commends us? We know that God knows all things, and so it's kind of a hypothetical question. I mean, you're not trying to prove yourself to anybody. But here's a thought. Anyone that claims ability ought to have some proof of that ability. Amen. Anyone that claims to be a Christian, for example, ought to have some evidence. You wouldn't go to a doctor. I wouldn't go to a doctor that never had a patient before, or that maybe never had healed one. The doctor might say, I've got lots of patients. How many have you healed? Oh, none of them. Not thinking I want to go to that doctor. Now, when I take my car to a mechanic, I know right away, sadly but truly, there are some dishonest mechanics out there. Amen. I would like for somebody to say, I took my car to that person and they did a good job and they fixed it and they were honest. When I go to a doctor, I'm always a little bit skeptical. I think I have a good doctor now. I've had some bad ones. I had a doctor once named Dr. Payne. Doesn't sound good. And he was overweight, and I did not care for him too much. We didn't last very long. I had some really good doctors in Maryland, however, and the thing that I like about them is when they can figure out what's wrong and fix it. And some doctors can and some can't. The commendation, this is something, God doesn't need this. God knows us. People don't necessarily need it, but I think we need it. I think it's a good way for us to examine ourselves. It got me to thinking today. Here's the idea, folks. We claim that we're Christians. We claim we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Is there evidence to back that up? Do we have an epistle? Paul says, my epistle is the church at Corinth. In other words, here's some folks. I went there. I preached the gospel. They got saved. There's a church there now. Have we led someone to the Lord? There's a song when I was a child. It may be in this hymn book, but I kind of doubt it. But it was called Must I Go and Empty Handed. And it was the idea of the song was that someone was going to step before the Lord and never have seen a soul saved. You can lead a soul to Christ. But you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to make an effort. You can say, wow, I just don't have a garden. And I wish I had a garden. And, you know, a garden would be a great thing. And, you know, I found out something. When you plant seeds, they almost always come up. But if you don't plant them, they're never going to come up. When you plant the gospel, it's going to produce some kind of result. It won't always produce a saved soul, but eventually it will. But if you never plant anything, you're not going to have any results. Amen? You can lead someone to Christ, hand out tracts. You can support missionaries, and they're going to lead people to Christ. And it's just almost as good as doing it yourself. It's just even more exciting because of the distance factor. But if we're a Christian, there ought to be some kind of proof. Someone we've led to the Lord. Someone that whose life we've changed. Someone that we taught the Bible. Evidence. Evidence perhaps in the way that we walk and we talk and look and think and act and live. It shouldn't be a guessing game as to whether somebody's a Christian. Amen? And it certainly shouldn't be a question in my mind. In other words, when I stop and think, what have I produced for God? You might ask yourself the same question. Hopefully we can add some things to the list. Amen? It's not always easy, but certainly easy that, I mean, I have some advantages. I get to preach every Sunday. And so I get a chance to see people get saved because of that every now and then. But that shouldn't be the only way a pastor gets people saved. You ought to be witnessing to folks. You ought to be inviting folks out to church. You ought to be bringing visitors to church so I can win some folks to the Lord. Amen? Amen. That's not the point. The point is so that we can get some people saved. Paul's epistle, his proof of authenticity was the fact that he had believers in Corinth as evidence. He was responsible for who they were. Anyone that wanted to see Paul's proof could just look at Corinth. And then in Paul's heart, and he mentions that in verse 2, he says, in our heart, he knew that he was authentic because he knew what he had done in Corinth. He had great confidence. He mentions that. He knew what he had done there. And there was no question about it. He knew he had a right to tell them what he said, on top of the fact that the Holy Spirit inspired that book of the Bible. What's written in our heart that gives us confidence? What do we know in our heart about our walk with God that we're going to see openly revealed one day when we stand before him? We ought to have an epistle. Amen? Some evidence, some commendation, something that demonstrates that we are what we say we are, a spirit-filled, born-again Christian. Second question. This is either a question or a statement. I'll show you both of them and you'll see what I mean. Are you an epistle for Christ? Or I could say you are an epistle for Christ. You're Christians, amen? Amen. We know that that word means Christ-like. And so look at what he says here in verse 3. He says, ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. Do you see that? Yeah. If you went to Corinth and you said, Corinth is a beautiful place. Of all the places I have ever visited, I think other than the Holy Land, some places there, Ephesus, it's okay. Corinth is really nice. It's got a beautiful view of the bay. It's just the weather's good there, and it's a neat place. And if you were to go to Corinth back in this day, and you were to walk down the street, they had wide streets with shops on both sides. It was on a trade route, so any goods that there could be had, they'd have them there for sale. It was like just a giant shopping mall kind of thing, and lots of people there conducting commerce. And if you were to walk down the streets in Corinth and pull somebody aside and say, what do you know about Christ? The chances are they would tell you, there's a church here in town. And that church represents Christ. I've never met Christ, but I've met them. Right? Now, I wonder what would be said if you ask somebody here, go down the street here and find somebody and say, what do you know about Christ? I wonder if they would say, not sure about Christ, but I know there's a church right over there, and I know what they do. And I know that they care. I know that they reach out. And I know that hopefully they know that we preach the gospel. And then they've put tracts on our door. And folks, we're the epistle. Amen? Amen? We ought to be a good epistle. I reject the notion that somebody can be ill-tempered, impossible to work with, or just not willing to work at all, and kind of just make everybody grumpy when they're around them and then claim to be an epistle for Christ. I don't think it works that way. Amen. I think we ought to be a good epistle. Amen? We ought to be something that when they say, that's what a Christian is like. I remember, I've told you this story probably half a dozen times, but there was this fellow in our church in Utah named Scott. Scott Ledoux. And Scott was 23, 24 years old. Not very big. Thin build, short. And if you met him, the first thing you'd think is, hey, that's a nice guy. And he went to work for this RV shop. And I did some programming for that shop, and I talked to the owner. And he says, Scott goes to your church, doesn't he? I said, yeah. He said, you know, when he came here, he didn't know hardly anything about RVs, but he was willing to learn. And if I tell Scott to do something, he said, it doesn't matter what it is. He'll say, okay. And if he didn't know how to do it, he'll go find out. And he'll go do it. He said, I wish I had 10 just like him. Folks, that's what we ought to be when people know us. They ought to be somebody that they would say, I wish I were there more people like that. Amen? And that's how we represent Christ. We are an epistle. So that's the question. You and I ought to be that epistle of Christ. Someone, I've heard it said, you may have heard this said, that you and I may be the only Bible some people ever read. Amen? When people read us, what message do they get? Oh, there's a grumpy person. Oh, there's an unhappy person. Oh, there's a skeptical person. Oh, there's a greedy person. Oh, there's a person that I can't get along with. No, they should get the message of Christ, not of the world. They ought to see Christ in us and not see the world. And if we are truly born again and have repented of our sins, and I've been burdened about that lately as well, I am afraid there are people that never understood the idea that they've turned from sin. They just don't want to go to hell. And folks, we need to turn from our sin. And I'm afraid there's some folks out there that have never done that, and they don't want to go to hell, and nobody would want to go to hell. If they believe in hell, they wouldn't want to go there especially. But folks, we need to understand that turning to Christ is turning from sin. And we ought to be those kind of people that can say we've done that. The Spirit of God has then written Christ upon our heart. You're going to see that in Romans Sunday morning in Sunday school. Our heart has a new message. What message do others see in your heart, in my heart? And we got to make sure they can see the message that ought to be seen, the message of Christ, the Holy Spirit, a picture of Christ. We ought to be a picture of Christ. We ought to be a good epistle. If we say we're saved, the Spirit of God should be evident to others in us. Our heart should be different than it was before. Our faith that was sufficient to save us ought to be a faith that changes our life. Amen? And if someone led you to Christ and you really got saved, then you are also an epistle for that person as well. And so I might ask this question, how good of an epistle are you for them? Whoever led you to Christ. And I was today, I was looking at, I'm sorry, I shouldn't admit this, I looked at Facebook today. And I saw a thing that a lady put on Facebook. And she said for Father's Day, she said, I miss my dad, but I know I'm going to see him in heaven. And this lady's name is Jan. And I led her to the Lord, and I led her father to the Lord. And that really warmed my heart. Amen. And there's an epistle there. He's with the Lord now. I remember, I've told you the story that he wanted to know how to be saved, and he was ripe. He was ready to go. And he met me at church to go have lunch. And I thought, well, there's no reason I can't start witnessing to him now. And it was about a 15-minute drive to the restaurant. And so I was witnessing to him, quoting him verses. And by the time we got to the restaurant, I'd said everything there was to say. And I'm thinking, wow, we haven't even started eating yet. And I asked the fellow, would you like to pray? Right before we ate lunch, even before we walked into the restaurant, he prayed and asked Christ to save him. And he's with the Lord now. And folks, that's what it's all about. There ought to be some fruit out there, some evidence. We ought to be an epistle for somebody else, by the way, and represent them. And then for Christ, of course. Now, real quick, one more thing. I am on time. It's only 5:10. Look at verse 4. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. That's a colon. That's not the end of the sentence. We've got to keep on reading. So this is, he's explaining his trust through Christ to God. His trust through Christ to God is this: not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Amen. Can we read that together? Is that asking too much here? Those last five words in that verse. You ready? Here we go. Our sufficiency is of God. Amen. Someone says, why didn't anything happen? Because God didn't do anything. Someone says, why did great things happen? Because God did great things. Someone says, why is there a church in Corinth? Paul says, I didn't do it, God did. He used Paul, but God gets the credit. Amen? Amen. What's going to happen at Vision Baptist Church in Vacation Bible School? Whatever God does. And whatever the Holy Spirit does through us is what's going to happen. Now, hey, we can decorate and we can hand out popsicles until the whole city gains 10 pounds. And we can do all sorts of work. But if God doesn't bless, doesn't make a bit of difference. If God blesses, we can just kind of mess it up and he'll still do great things.
Amen.
Amen? Paul says, what's that word sufficiency mean? Enough. God's enough. Are we enough?
No.
Nah. Is my ability enough? No, not even close. Is our organizational ability or our hours of study or whatever enough? No. God's enough. And God's sufficient. When God's in it, that's it. That's enough. You know, maybe the reason we don't see God work sometimes is because we want to do it. I'm pretty well to that point in life, been there for quite a while actually, that I'm willing to say, I can't do anything. Without God, I can do nothing. Can't preach, can't witness, can't pray, can't do anything. But God can.
Amen.
Availability is a whole lot more important than ability. And there's some cute saying about that. I forgot it. Don't tell me about it later. Okay, we got to finish. Our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. You say, what on earth is all that about? Let's just wrap this up. The thing that makes you and I commendable, the thing that commends us, that gives us that ability to produce anything, is the sufficiency of God. If we were to write a letter of commendation for ourselves, what would that letter say? What skills or gifts or abilities would you name? Truly, we depend wholly upon God for our sufficiency. Amen. Anybody that says, look at me, I'm good, that's a problem.
Amen.
You look at me, God's good. Or just forget the me part. Look at God, he's good.
Amen.
And did somebody get saved last night? You know, we did what we could, which is nothing. And God did what he wanted to do through us last night. And he did something. We may not know for a long time, but he did something. Someone says, Pastor, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do that. Just make yourself available to God. Amen?
Amen.
That's what you need to do. Paul said he wasn't even sufficient, and I'm pretty impressed with Paul, but God was sufficient through him. His ability to minister was wholly of God. That means completely, entirely. There's no question about that. And he ministered the Spirit, not the letter, of the law. I'll read you two verses and I'm done. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. This is Jesus talking. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Romans 8:10. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. It is not the law that saves us. It is the Spirit. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Amen? So it's the interesting connection there is, the very same way we got saved is the way we serve. Someone says, well, the reason I got saved is because I stopped sinning and I'm just a great person. You're not saved. No, someone says, the reason I got saved is because I couldn't save myself, but God saved me by Jesus Christ's death on the cross.
Amen.
That's salvation. Now, let's just use the service angle there. Someone says, well, the reason I can serve God is because I'm so good and I work so hard.
Mm-mm.
The reason I can serve God is because God does it all. And I'm amazed he can even use me. That's where you ought to be. Amen? And that's what he says. In Paul's epistle, God was at the top. And his emphasis was God is sufficient. That ought to be the theme for our church here for a while, if not forever. Is we're not sufficient, but God is. And he's very sufficient. Amen?
Amen.
And we're in his hands. Think about people like Noah or Jeremiah, who had lengthy ministries and very little fruit, but they served God. And in both cases, they've got something to show for it. The fact that we're here means Noah did what he was told to do. And the fact that you got the book of Jeremiah and a lot of good prophecy shows he did his part. And there will be a product from your life. We talked about that earlier. There will be a sweet savor of sorts. But there ought to be some visible evidence. Amen? Something to commend you. If you can't look in your heart and see obvious things that prove that you are a minister of Christ, then ought to work on that. That's something you can change, amen? It's not too late.